Thank you for joining us for this last session of the day. This session is an SAMR approach to designing and authoring better assessment exercises. Please welcome Eric Schminer.
Thank you. All right, I'm not real good holding these mics, but we got, you know, four of us in here right now. So it's SAMR approach. How many of you are familiar with that? You've heard of it? Okay. So nobody applying it yet. That's good news. So we're gonna get you familiar. So I've got actually some objectives for today. We're going to focus on, first of all, what is SAMR and get you acquainted to that. Then why does it matter? How is it different from other pedagogical approaches? Because we've got, you know, a variety of them that we can go after. Examples that you can use. I want you to take away things that you can actually apply if you choose to. And then a call to action, because I'd like to see you apply this. So, you know, the ability to do so as we come out. So SAMR was introduced by Ruben Quindora in 2006 in cooperation with the Maine Department of Education. And it's really an approach that focuses on using technology at a level that starts from enhancing our instruction all the way up to a transformative approach to instruction. So we're looking at actually what's a framework for designing assessment activities that is oftentimes, I learned about it actually within the past year myself. You know, it's a fairly new approach to me, but it's also one that I feel like as a computer instructor, I've been applying for quite a long time. So, yeah, I'm in depth with technology every day from the position that I, you know, hold as a computer instructor. So there are four stages to this. So we're going to start with the enhancement level and work our way up to the transformation type elements. And the first stage there is substitution. Substitution is really just kind of that direct replacement using technology as a substitute for what we otherwise would have done in a manual or paper format or something else. So, you know, oftentimes most instructors are already at this level, right? We use PowerPoint presentations rather than overhead projectors, right? And we, you know, make those modifications kind of straightforward. But when we take it to the learning perspective, there's still an awful lot of disciplines or classes or old school faculty that, you know, haven't quite made that transition from the assessment perspective that we're focusing on today. So when we go up a level, we're at augmentation. Augmentation is still a substitute. The technology is focusing as a substitute, but now it's given us the ability to improve the functionality, right? If we take basically those slides that would have previously gone through a slide projector or an overhead, and we put them in a PowerPoint presentation, we've seen no functional improvement. But if we take that same thing and we add in animations or transitions or, you know, other elements to the presentation, now we've got the same information still being delivered, but a functional improvement. And, you know, even the animations, to some extent, we could have done that by sliding a piece of paper down our overheads, right? So modification is now getting into that transformative approach. And the modification is where we first see stepping beyond just the substitute. Now technology has given us the ability to redesign the task, right? We've given them the opportunity to not only be consumers, but to be creators, right? And we're redefining the task of them, you know, from producing papers to producing interactive presentations, you know, things that they can deliver and grab other skills from. And then at the top level of the SAMR approach is the redefinition. And this is where we've got new tasks that were previously inconceivable, you know, with our technology. So technology enabling us to do webinars, to video conference, you know, to communicate and hold distance learning classes that are involving people and students of all sorts of backgrounds. Yeah, you know, this is the overall approach. So as we go through today, we're going to look at a variety of places that this can apply. That hopefully spans whatever discipline that you're in. Before I get into my presentation, to an extent, Dr. Laurie Leshin, she is president of Worcester College in Massachusetts, and I had the privilege actually earlier this week while I was in Orlando of seeing her as our final keynote. And in addition to being president of that college. She is actually a rocket scientist. she worked on the team that put Curiosity rover on Mars. So incredible person to have listened to and learned from. And her keynote address was how innovation is unleashed by asking an unanswerable question. And I had five takeaways from this that I thought were just applicable to what we're talking about today that I wanted to share with you. So these are quotes, are somewhat paraphrased, but I put quote marks so it was consistent. But we can bring technology and learning together to change higher education. Right? That's the whole idea is of the SAMR approach, is to apply technology in a way that is changing our education process. If we want students to have transformative experiences, why wait? Most of our education is to prepare students to go out into the real world and then have these major experiences and to develop things and create things and interact in a business environment that is, you know, stronger. Well, why wait? Let them do it in the classroom. And technology is enabling us to introduce new ways of assessing or interacting with students that, you know, again, can let them be creative, can take that leash off, if you will, and open the doors for new innovations, new possibilities. A couple months ago, I saw Jack Andreka, who's a 17-year-old from my hometown of Baltimore. He wrote a book that came out in March, I think, called Breakthrough. And, you know, at 17, he's invented so many different things that were science projects for him, including a test strip for pancreatic cancer. Okay, so, I mean, if you haven't heard of him, check him out. But, you know, we can see our students evolve well beyond the lower levels of rote memorization and so forth. Could we throw out our entire curriculum and start over with something else at the center? Thought this was quite a question there, you know, and here we've got CIOs and CFOs and vice presidents and so forth at that conference, you know, and academia is often resistant to change. You know, I've been in several discussions about, you know, how digital and ebooks and so forth are impacting the current market with textbooks, and, you know, we get comfortable sometimes, you know, and this change impact, you know, I think is something else that we need to consider, you know, in the way that it can be used or might be used in the classroom environment. What are the scary or unanswerable questions in your field of study? Because that's the source of innovation, okay? The ones that haven't been answered yet, the is there life on Mars question that she was approaching with the creation of that rover. And then finally, when we ask impossible questions, great things can happen. That was kind of how she ended this. So, you know, tying it all back in. So as we proceed, I want you to hopefully, with this mindset, think about how we can change the approach of the assessments by applying the technology accordingly. So why does this all matter? Well, I found this 10 reasons today's students need technology in the classroom, written by Ashley Wainwright. And these are bullet points of longer narrative. You're welcome to look up that article. But career preparation, right? We're preparing students, and it was even mentioned in another session I was at today, for jobs that might not exist yet. Right? Opportunities that they don't even know what they're going to be when they grow up. And I'm not sure if I want to grow up, much less what I'm going to be when I get there. A diversity of learning styles, right? We're looking at kinesthetic versus visual versus audio learners and, you know, a wide variety of approaches in the classroom that we can solve with technology. Collaboration, experiences where students get to have their say in the mix, and a mindset that is evolving in terms of the collaborative approach in the classroom. Real-world environment. They're using this technology once they get out, right? Microsoft Office is pretty much everywhere, or some version of, you know, some sort of technology in all of the workforces. So students are then more engaged when they have this type of technology and this creative license that comes with it a lot of times. So they're happier. They're more excited. Up-to-date information access, and I know we've also been discussing how up-to-date is, you know, useful, but, you know, being able to at least access today's articles online, you know, writing an assessment that may encourage them to go and research something that we weren't able to write into that textbook at the time of publication, but to be able to say to them, okay, you still have the same assignment. We just don't have the answer key because we don't know what you're going to be working with when you get to it, right? And to develop the assessment in that way. Moving the teacher from the sage on the stage to that advisor or coach or encourager. And we hear this all the time in the pedagogical approach to learning now. So, you know, the SAMR approach really does take that off of the teacher sometimes and lets them, again, with that technology to explore and to create. And then the teacher gets to almost be that active participant and observer right along the side and say, you know, well, what are you doing? You know, let me see what you've got. One thing that I've done from that perspective in my intro to computers classes is I assign students to go to TED. Y'all watch TED videos, right? Yeah, and go to TED.com. Pick a video that interests you. I don't care what it is. Working groups of two or three or four, you know, and as a group, you all decide on one. I have them get into discussion forums and post their thoughts and assign them to groups that I don't let them change afterwards, you know, to then have to work together as a team to come to that consensus of what it is that they want to work on. And then I tell them, okay, we've learned Microsoft PowerPoint in this intro to computers class. Have you heard of Prezi? I want you to go over there, right? I want you to learn how to use Prezi. I'm not going to teach you Prezi. I've taught you PowerPoint. I've taught you presentation skills. You go use Prezi. You figure it out. You work with your team, and you learn how to use this tool because you already have the presentation skills. Yes?
Would Prezi be augmentation or modification?
Or
would it be a substitution?
It could be really depending on the application of it in any of those three levels, okay? It's, you know, because it could just be a substitute for slides, right? If we take that same content and we just follow that linear approach, then we're at a substitution level. But with the way Prezi is structured and the three-dimensional approach to it, you know, we could get up to the augmentation level. So, yeah. But, you know, I have them do that, and they're learning and they're creating and they're, you know, working together in that process, and I just get to see the results, which is really kind of cool, you know, and I help them when they hit the technical sticking points, oh, here's what you need to do, how you need to click, you know, but I make them share it with their group and live collaborate from different computers in the same classroom. Yeah, so now they're simulating that online environment of collaboration and development too. Gives the students responsibility and control over their own work, right? It's not necessarily prescribing. There was the question, you know, in the last session I was in about math assignments and how do you, you know, take that from the strict multiple choice structure of things sometimes. And, you know, here we can, you know, give them a little bit of flexibility and control over their own learning. Well, how far do you want to go? You know, I keep the instructions on that same assignment very loose. I tell them, you know, take this. Here are your guidelines. It needs to have a title. It needs to have at least three main topics, and each of those three main topics have to have three subtopics. And it has to be based off of a TED Talk, and you have to provide me a link to that TED Talk. That's the rules. That's it. Go create. Okay? And some of them really scratch their heads at that. They hate just being given a task, and what can I do? But they're at a much higher level of thinking.
Mm-hmm. So I'm really big on this process of education you're describing.
Okay.
At what point in your term do you make them do this? Do you scaffold them into this at all, and how do you do that if you do it?
This is a project that I actually start having them join groups and do the early phases of, one, their own homework on how to use Prezi, and their own investigation of TED videos about week 12 of the semester. And the project itself is due at the end of week 15. And so, It is one of four projects I assign in the class. So, you know, it's got a little heavier weight than a regular assignment, but it's not a kind of end of, you know, semester one. Yep. Okay. And then, naturally, we've also been talking about the features and cost benefits of digital textbooks in the education process. So all of these, again, very brief summaries to what was illustrated in her article there, or blog post. So Bloom's taxonomy, I've seen both directions of this, right? And it's the same labels, remember, understand, apply, analyze, evaluate, and create. going up the traditional pyramid. But with technology, particularly adopting a SAMR approach, we can often flip that, right? And we're seeing much more opportunities and larger content in the classroom for the analysis and the evaluation and the actual creation when we, again, stop prescribing necessarily the details of what they need to result in. Admittedly, from the instructor perspective, it often is more work to grade. I'm more selective on which things I put their efforts into. And it doesn't say that we shouldn't have the traditional assignments because they need them as core foundation. And the scaffolding effect that was mentioned there, you know, I definitely approach if they don't have those basic core skills in the technology at a level that I've taught them, they can't then synthesize and apply and, you know, create with something else that they haven't been directly taught. TPAC is another one of these pedagogical frameworks that focuses on technology, pedagogy, and content. So you see the overlaps in that Venn diagram, you know, technology and pedagogy. We can see the approach of, you know, how do I teach and then how do I use technology to do it? Or how do I apply my technology to my content? Or what's more common, how do I apply my content to the teaching, right? So what we want to do is move from this area in here up to that sweet spot in the middle, right? We want to see where all three of those ideas overlap, and SAMR is a definite complement to the TPAC model to do that. So four stages. We're going to go through each of these and talk about some examples of that, but feel free to jump in with questions at any time, but any that you have at this point. Okay. So looking at the substitution phase, again, that direct substitute for what is. So if we're dealing with a note-taking assignment, okay, an assessment at the end of the chapter deals with note-taking, we might tell them rather than taking notes on this, you take notes in Notepad. We specifically tell them which application to use. The teacher is direct on that, and it's very prescribed, and now it's the same process, but I just want it in typed form, right? And you're keeping that maybe for yourself or for an online submission or some other way of getting it there. From a research perspective, most of them know how to Google when they walk in the classroom, right? So I can browse the internet. I can copy and paste information. I can, you know, research from the perspective of a broad sense of the term, right? And depending on what level you're teaching or working with, naturally, you may already be somewhat up this chain, you know, from the expectations, at least from a pedagogical sense. So presentations, we talked about making a PowerPoint presentation. File sharing, maybe you're sending lessons via email, right? We're either typing it directly in the body of the email, posting announcements to Blackboard, posting a PDF file, right? Something that's just a direct, now here's the information, here's the file that I need to get to you. And, you know, I'm doing it via email, pretty rudimentary and, you know, distributive. So reading, maybe I say, okay, well, rather than, you know, here's our ebook substitution at a PDF level, right? Rather than the print copy of the book, here's a PDF version. Right, here's the absolute equivalent. It's a direct substitute. There's no advancement to it. It's the same text, the same pictures, and the pages lay out just in an electronic file. And then with assessment, maybe they submit them through the LMS. I download them on the back end of the LMS, and I manually grade them. Right, no difference except for the electronic transport from the technology perspective of stack your papers here, you know, and give me your information at the end of class or beginning of class. So when we move into augmentation, again, we're still using that substitution model, but now we're getting some functional benefit to the application of the technology. So note-taking, maybe we give them the flexibility of choose your own note-taking application. You want to use Notepad, you want to use WordPad, you want to use Microsoft Word, you want to use, you know, Evernote, you want to use OneNote, whatever you want, go ahead. You know, just make sure you're taking notes and taking them electronically because we need the technology part of this for SAMR. Research, as content is located online, bookmark and share those resources, right? So now we've augmented it because now it's not just I found it, it's I found it and can retrieve it and can share it, right? So we still had that process of just searching the internet for things, But we've added a level of functionality that didn't exist when we were just searching and then typing it into our papers. Presentation. Demonstrate understanding with Explain Everything. Explain Everything's an app that, you know, gets you to annotate, explain, you know, what's happening in terms of, you know, the presentation that's delivered there. So file sharing, a shared Dropbox folder. Now our information is in one central location, right? It's not being disseminated via email to all of the individual inboxes, and then am I working with the right copy or not? You know, it's here, and it's in a single location. I'm still doing basically the same thing. I've given you my paper, you know, or I've shared this particular document that I need to with the class, but if it needs to be updated, I can go update it in Dropbox, and now everybody that accesses it after that has the updated version, so I've got that extra level of functionality. Reading, using dictionary and search features of an electronic document. This can be as basic as Control F or the Find box, right? So I don't know where in the chapter it's talking about how to copy and paste, right? But I can click the Find button, and I can search for copy and paste. And now I've located that information. So my assessments are taking them to a level, again, of using the technology to accomplish what it is that they're looking for. Or I don't know the meaning of this word. So now I take the dictionary portion or research pane of that particular application and can look up the definition. And then assessment, now they submit it, but it automatically grades it, right? And that's one of those big benefits to faculty. When we have the electronic test banks and, you know, multiple choice questions and so forth, or, you know, now it can manually grade it for me or automatically grade it for me, so I don't have to take the time. And maybe I have to go and look at, you know, individual ones, but by submitting in the LMS, which was the substitution version of this, you know, now I've got it where it's automatically grading as well, and I'm saving some effort from the teaching perspective that I can dedicate elsewhere, right, and focus on projects or helping those students that had issues. So we go up another level, right? We're at the modification point. And this is where we start to see a redesign approach. Note-taking, all students use Evernote or OneNote. Now, we're coming back to the prescribed function there, but these two particular technologies are collaborative note-taking environments. The notes that are shared is not a matter of I typed it and then I sent it to you or I shared it with you. It's we can actually edit the same set of notes simultaneously. So now we have redesigned the process. And again, oftentimes when we're getting to this level with the modification, we're talking in an approach that is collaborative. It is connecting students with students or students with teachers. And maybe it's an Evernote or a OneNote document or notebook that I've shared specifically with that student. You know, I use the same sort of thing in Blackboard with the journals rather than the discussion boards. And I say, you know, this is your private communication with me. You journal in it, and now I have access to your thoughts along the way throughout the semester. Research, download and annotate research materials. The annotation there is bringing us back kind of to that paper format, but now we also have it in an electronic way that is stored, shareable, and, you know, useful and searchable, right? Because we can often search those annotations. So collecting those research materials, putting them into, even if it's ProQuest's login, right, and saving my research and then annotating it directly there within the library system or database, that's a technology advancement that is giving me access to everything that's related to that project. Presentation, create a movie presentation with audio, video, and text, right? Now they're bringing in multimedia, so another way that we can incorporate that. When we're taking in and saying you have to include the YouTube, right? I don't make them embed the YouTube video, but I do tell them it has to be based off of video. If they simply provide me the link, well, they could have done that, you know, and they actually can do that over in PowerPoint, so Prezi doesn't make the difference there. But the fact that they're incorporating a multimedia approach, you know, is now at a point that we've redesigned the process, right? We're making them really think. File sharing using collaboration software for real-time content sharing. And then reading, where they're annotating documents and ebook software. So they're reading this and they're sharing, saving their own notes, writing in there. And then finally, assessment, creative project development that's delivered electronically. So, you know, now they're thinking beyond, they're creating beyond, and then they're still using the LMS or whatever to submit it. Or in the sake of Prezi, they're sharing that link with me as the instructor, and I can then access their creative results. So we get to that top level, right? Redefinition. Technology allows for creation of things that were previously inconceivable. So note-taking, all students share notes with the instructor, right? As they're taking the notes, as they're annotating it, as they're doing things, yeah, I have access in real time to all of the students' different pieces of work, right? And now, from a pedagogical perspective, I've got a better understanding of what question points were there, what things that I can, you know, help with. And, you know, if we're encouraging through our assessment process to say, okay, use a particular technology or any technology that you can then share and connect. Yes?
Is the note-taking a feature found in both Evernote and OneNote?
Yes. Yes. Okay. And then research. Yes. Sorry.
Going back on that note-taking, do you have the students using their computers in class taking notes, or what if a student likes to handwrite it, or how does that process work where you run assessment of their notes?
From the perspective, if you've seen me in any of the sessions, I'm handwriting my notes today. Ultimately, I will put them all into my OneNote collection of folders and files. There, I can share that with anybody. So if I'm from the instructor perspective, you know, ultimately I'm going to require them to have put it in something that is shared with me as the instructor, and that is, you know, now not necessarily immediately real time, but pretty close. You know, if I have them with weekly or daily reflection type elements, you know, that note-taking process is still getting it back to me, even if they hand-wrote them to start with.
And do you assess their notes? Do you ever go back? I mean, I have 50 students in my class. Do you go and say, well, you know what, you didn't do a good job on this, or you followed this every week?
No. I use it more as an advising tool rather than an assessment. But from the assessment perspective, yes, we could. You know, journaling sake, if we're, let's say, in an English environment, right? Now, we want to see those different drafts of things. I'm in the technology, so their notes are really kind of guiding my instruction more so. And I tried to keep the examples more broad than just my field or discipline. But, you know, the application of the technology there, yes, you might be reading that to see, well, how are you forming your themes? Or what does your plot line look like? Or where are you stuck? Because I don't want you to come up to me in week 15 with a final paper due next week that you don't even know what your topic is or who your characters are, right? So as they're developing that, to have that real-time access to their thoughts, their notes, you know, or even from lecture notes, if I'm in a science area that has been, I've delivered the presentations and I put those presentations out, disseminating them electronically or put them in Dropbox or, you know, created it in a collaborative way, you know, even the comments area, if it's, say, PowerPoint online, right, gives them a way to post notes related to the slides, and I'm getting feedback as the instructor that I otherwise, it would have been in their head, right, or on their paper at home.
Thank you. Do you also teach your students to critique one another's notes so that they're cogent?
I have, in my introduction to programming class, I have used peer review processes for design. So we go through the entire system analysis and design process of they have the flexibility creatively to pick their own project. And then I make them put on the hat of the business consultant of asking questions, what didn't they put in the initial description? And then I have them switch to the designer mode where they take the answers to those questions and they map out their creation. Then once they have that design document created, I put it through a peer review process. And, you know, I try to pair it up where it's different projects and so forth, and giving them the flexibility of choice up front makes that a little easier. But that peer review process lets them see, oh, you know, this person did a flowchart. This person did, you know, a class diagram, UML diagrams. Yeah, and they've got different approaches and different information, and oftentimes triggers that ability to, you know, critique their own work after they've done the process of critiquing with a rubric that I've given them that I also gave them in advance of them submitting their own design phase. So, yep. Okay. Other questions? All right. Collaborative mind map creation. How many of you use mind maps? Okay. Awesome tool, right? And, you know, if we take our mind and we're putting it all there, I use Pearl Trees and, you know, connect the dots with a lot of resources and things that I think. And, you know, I'll draw out mind maps a lot more than I use software for it. But, you know, again, that collaborative element lets us see the train of thought. Yeah, and take those connecting pieces and, you know, the way that maybe I'm teaching this versus, you know, or what I've delivered in the textbook content that I'm expecting them to get out of it, you know, well, analyze this, synthesize this, bring this back, and describe to me, based off of this starting point, what comes here, you know, and create that in a mind mapping area. Or I'm researching this particular topic, right? And now the ideas all connect. Oh, I found that article that I, you know, might want to connect in there. You know, or here's another topic. My train derails 101 times when I'm in the research process. Yeah, so definitely from the research area, you know, to be able to bring those pieces together to say, I think this is going to connect, but I don't know exactly how yet. It's not the next part of my process, right? But I can toss it over here in the software, and I'll connect the dots later when I come up to it. So, again, technology is giving us the ability to not only have bookmarked these items, but to now take them with Pearl Tree as a resource gathering, you know, and connect our pearls, right? And then show something for it if we're asking them, you know, submit this, right? What research have you done? Now it's not a matter of them just going and finding a bibliography offline somewhere, right? And saying, oh, here's my research, here's my 10, you know, things, and I've annotated it, and here's your, you know, annotated bibliography that you asked for this week, right? Instead, they're actually showing, well, how does the concept from this particular piece of work connect with that piece of work? And we have extended and gone well beyond per format. Turn that off. Okay. All right, presentations, the webcast perspective, right? And I actually don't make my students do this, but you could. You know, have them Skype with each other or have them, you know, deliver something via link for business, you know, if you're running Office 365 in your environment or even just on a free way, particularly online students, right? The ones that aren't there standing in front of the class delivering the presentation. Well, now we've got the ability, wherever they happen to be, to present this. Or you pair with another class somewhere else and deliver the content and do webcast. Again, my intro level computer class, it's a little more than what I want to get into. But if I'm doing a 16-week course on PowerPoint, you know, this is somewhere that the assessment might work in, right? Or this is also something, again, that if I've got a you know, virtual science fair, even. You know, here's the results of my efforts, and, you know, I can assess the ability with a project that has them not only creating this presentation, but delivering. And they can record that, even if it's a one-on-one pairing of students. They can record that and submit the recording to me, and now I've got tangible evidence to assess and grade based off of a particular rubric. File sharing. Online repositories, okay, and we can apply this a lot to ourselves as well, you know, came up, well, you know, what if we could bring contents and the ideas and the videos and curate what the faculty are creating based off of what they had in the text, right, when maybe those ancillaries don't necessarily meet their needs and they're developing something, well, what if we can curate that? Well, we've got what's called the North Carolina Learning Object Repository as part of the North Carolina system. Yeah, and that is intended for just that, where, you know, throughout our community college system, if somebody has already taught this class, I don't have to reinvent the wheel. right? I go and I borrow from that, and I insert those objects directly into my Blackboard system and use it, and it's there within the Creative Commons element. So, building that type of online repository that's more, but it's multiple contributors, right? So now we have got the students being active contributors to that repository. Interactive ebooks with enhanced features. We talked about the videos. We've talked about ways to get people, even those stop points. Okay, you've just read this. Now hit pop quiz, right? What have you, learned from this? Do you understand a particular concept or demonstrate this? And the different technologies that are augmenting and modifying and redefining the learning process by not only delivering it and delivering it, but then allowing that interaction, right? And then, at a step further, that analysis and data collection, if we pursue that. And assessment level, we can give creative assignments with audio feedback. How many of you have heard of VoiceThread? Okay. VoiceThread is you go and you submit your presentation or you submit something there, or as an instructor, I put my information out there and I tell the students, okay, you go watch that and add a 30-second audio clip or add a video. And it's collaborative and everybody can now, in essence, pin their comments to this particular thing. So rather than a discussion board with an attachment and then, me too sort of things, the chances of them reading and saying me too, diminishes tremendously because now they're accountable for a 30-second clip that actually describes their own opinions on this. And they can't copy and paste from somebody because it's audio. They can't copy and paste because it's video. They have to present themselves original ideas associated with this, which is much better than standing in front of a class of 50 and saying, okay, who has an answer that they want to contribute, and you've got the people who stay quiet, or the discussion boards where they stay quiet or they just echo the thoughts of someone else. Now, I really am not a big fan of discussion boards personally. Times when I use it, I turn on the feature that says, you must post before you get to see everybody else's posts. And just that simple check mark, lets me make sure that I'm getting, at least to an extent, and most of the time, no thought from people unless they buddied up and, off of somebody right next to them in the classrooms. So let's look at the different processes very quickly here, because I know I took the time in explanation before, but at it from the other perspective. I've basically flipped the information I just gave you on its head, okay? So instead of looking at the six different areas under each of those four tiers, we're going to look just at note-taking and go through this substitution, typing notes in iPad or any prescribed software. Augmentation, they get to choose their own note-taking app. Modification, they all use Evernote or OneNote for all notes, and it comes in again with that sharing capability, which is at the redefinition level where they're sharing with the instructor. From a research perspective, copying and pasting web content, to bookmarking and sharing resources, to uploading and annotating that research, to developing collaborative mind maps using software. Presentation, PowerPoint, it's a basic substitution. When we have to things, straight and understanding, we're again moving up that Bloom's taxonomy. When we tell them to create a movie with video, audio, and text, now they've taken that presentation and they've added incorporated multimedia up to delivering it to an external audience online, so that webinar case. With file sharing, we start with, I'm emailing you files. To, okay, I've got an online storage place that I email you a link to, or you have the link, and I just put new things in that folder. And when they get there. To collaboration software for real-time sharing of things. To delivering and sharing through online repositories that are open resource. Applied to reading, PDF delivery is a substitution for the textbook. Get them further understanding with the dictionary and search feature usage. Annotating and adding their own thoughts and elements into the documents, to interactive activities that are built into the ebook that you know, it's really a level of redefinition from the original book. Assessment, submit through the LMS, but I still have to grade it, right? Automatic grading, different things submitted in the LMS. Project delivered electronically, okay, so it's involved more pieces. To the audio or video feedback associated with those creative projects tied into some other technology. The SAMR approach, again, we can apply it all sorts of types. If you come back to any of those, you know, six categories of assessments and you look at your particular activity at the end of the chapter and you say, what is this? What am I asking for? Okay? And then where do we go from there? Now, one thing I want to caution about the SAMR approach. Redefinition is not always necessary. This is not one of those things that we necessarily want to climb the ladder with everything, okay? There is a lot of benefit to the substitution model, okay? Telling someone to visually present using PowerPoint, particularly in an introductory computer class, might be sufficient, okay? Extending that beyond that level, or particularly in a class that doesn't have any technology involved in it, and taking them to the computer lab for a day so that they can create a PowerPoint presentation, okay, or create a Word document as opposed to handwriting an essay. That technological substitution, you know, has got its benefit over the previous methods. But, you know, we can get them into the level of redefinition. Oftentimes, we're reaching those higher levels of creation and analysis and synthesis that may have not existed if the technology didn't propel. Okay, so, you know, technology for technology's sake is never good. Tie a purpose to anything that you're looking at using. Yes?
Do you have an opinion about having tiered grading or the level of synthesis that you?
That's a great question. I actually, with my, and I did a presentation about this a couple months ago, with my intro to programming class again, I was having a terrible attrition rate. I mean, 70%. Okay, and that had been before I even took over the class, that had been. And last fall I said, something's got to give. Actually, last spring, you know, prep for fall. I said, something's got to give. How am I going to do this? So I took the training wheels off. I took the deadlines out. I said, okay, here is a C-level expectation. Here is a B-level expectation. Here is an A-level expectation. Okay, and you've got all semester to go for whatever you can get. And, you know, it made a lot more for me at the end, you know, in terms of grading and catching up with things. But particularly in a programming class that chapter one led to chapter two's understanding, led to chapter three's, and if I'm trying to go through that entire textbook in a semester, I was losing people. You know, they realized, oh, I still don't understand chapter two, and we're on chapter five. I got to get out. I got to get out before I fail this class, right? So, you know, in doing that, I actually, on average, between the last two semesters, only lost 23%, which is a significant improvement. But, you know, I think that there are also things that can be improved upon that. But I think definitely giving them, you know, a variety of ways. And my rubrics always are point scales. When I develop them anyway for grading, so it's not an all or nothing sort of situation. So I really like that approach to evaluation. Did that answer your question, I hope? Okay. Any other questions? Okay. These resources here, and feel free to snap a picture or I'll send you the presentation if you'd like, are just three. Those top two are actually great curations of a variety of tools. So 50 ways to integrate technology in your classroom tomorrow. And then the Web 2.0 cool tools for schools. Some of that focuses, at least from the way they're described and so forth, on the K-12 sector. But from higher ed, I find, you know, I use the tools in a different way than what they're described on that site. And it's a great platform for you to, again, find probably between those two sites alone 100, 150 different technological tools that you could use with your assessments in terms of trying to reach a different level in the SAMR model. And if you're looking at how to teach with technology from the pedagogical approach, the Udemy course there is a actual course structure for educating educators, to take that approach to looking at how these things can be applied from the assessment perspective. So hopefully the gears are turning at this point. Yeah, and you guys are thinking through some things and going, that would be a relatively easy change to take a step up this ladder. What comes on to the authors here is we need to explore, right? We need to do the exploration because it's also been mentioned a couple times today. How many of you are faculty, by the way? Faculty, okay. So about half the group. The faculty, and I heard it even stated this way, I think I'm atypical when it comes to this, and hopefully you guys are as well, but the faculty tend to not want to do more than what was given to them in some cases, okay? That's something I've got to go sit through an hour of professional development. We have a requirement at my school of 24 hours a year of professional development, 24 hours in a year. That 8 of it is given to us by the day that we have to come back for faculty development before the semester starts. And they just give us that 8. That's 16 hours. Okay? With webinars and everything else that's available, I log about 150 hours a year in professional development. You go to one conference, you've easily got 24 hours. So, the extra mile is unfortunately not that common. And I'm the type, I guess, my college computer instructor said to all of us weekly, learn to love to learn. You're in technology. It's ever-changing. Learn to love to learn. So I do, okay? And I take that approach and I try to, model it for my particular students. But I've got neighbors on my hall who are teaching, accounting or business or whatever that say, it hasn't changed, whatever the new version of the book is. They'll give me a Blackboard cartridge with it. I'll load it. And then I'll go in front of the class and I'll click through my PowerPoint. And then I'll grade. And I've got one neighbor who flat out says to his students, you took it online, that was your choice, you should have been in my class. Read it, get it, turn it in. If you watch the videos and you still don't understand it, then make the time to come while I've got office hours. But there's no flexibility. 5 o'clock, he goes home and that's it. I don't personally understand that model. But, I think that from the authoring perspective, the more that we can explore the technologies and learn them and see how they can have that pedagogical impact on students, the better that we can then adopt them for them. And all they have to do is select which exercise at the end. And some of them are not going to, but we don't use all of the end of chapter activities anyway as we're assessing students. So giving them options